Hello again, TGP friends. It's Monday, March 28th, 2022. This is In the Know, episode 35. Okay, back in the saddle. Glad to be here. We had a good day yesterday, and I am looking forward to next week. We'll be in Genesis chapter 34. Lord willing, we'll do the whole chapter. But before we do that, we have some announcements to make. April 1st and 2nd, that's this Friday, is the IF Women's Gathering at First Baptist Church in Dry Prong, Louisiana. We're going to have food and childcare fully provided. It's free. Just reach out to Allison Hinsgens if you're interested in being part of that. April the 6th, Children's Choir starts. That's a Wednesday. I believe that starts at 6, but I know for sure you can reach out to Kate Rawls for more information on that. April the 24th will be the Sunday evening service for April. That's the week after Easter. And then May the 1st is going to be a members meeting. And at that meeting, we will announce elder candidates who have been nominated and qualified, and we'll announce those, and then we will call another meeting 2 weeks later for a vote. So May the 1st will be simply the announcing of these men or this man, and then May the 15th, we will vote on those elder candidates. So May 1st, a meeting, May 15th, a meeting, and Lord willing, when we leave May 15th, we will have a new elder in place, at least one. I forgot something yesterday, and I can't believe I forgot to do it, but I forgot. I did not lay out our vision, and I almost cried myself to sleep. I'm just kidding. But I thought it would be good to do it here just to remind you. So if you're listening, this is a free nugget. It's not in the written newsletter, but it is here. So by God's grace, we are becoming a family of faith devoted to our Lord Jesus Christ, to His Word, to His ordinances, and to one another as we seek to accomplish the shared mission of making Him known among the nations. How about this? Yesterday, we could have talked about a number of those points, those 5 points, in the missions or the vision statement. We could have talked about a number of those things as they relate to Genesis 33. So we could have talked about how our mission of making Him known, like that is the ministry of reconciliation. Like at its core, that's our mission, is God makes His appeal through us. We're making Him known, or maybe better, He's making Himself known through us, since we are His ambassadors and He makes His appeal through us. He makes Himself known through His people. And He makes Himself known by the way that we are a family. It's like one of the ways that we make Him known is that we become increasingly more like Him, unified and diverse and reconciled and reconciling to one another. So this family relationship of the church bears witness to the family that is the Godhead. And it's one of the ways He makes Himself known. And we could have even talked about, devotion to our Lord, because He is the one who purchased our reconciliation. Here's why we are devoted to Him. And then even devotion to one another as we become a faith family. Like that's all there. Like part of our devotion to one another will mean that we will reconcile quickly, that we will give forgiveness, and we will seek forgiveness from others when we offend them. This is what it means to be part of a family. I just believe our nuclear families that we travel here to our church family with, like those nuclear families are training grounds, right? Because our families last our whole lives, but this season of parenting little kids is going to, in 10, 15, 20, 25 years, for all of us, we're going to be in a different stage of life and the family. And that little window of time where we've been training our children has really been training them and showing them, here is what life is supposed to look like in God's family. So like we hand them off one day into the family of God, and prayerfully, the way that we've disciplined and raised our children to reconcile with each other and to live at peace with each other and to live in unity with each other, prayerfully, like that's preparing them for life in the church for the rest of their lives. And so, gosh, that's what we're getting at. Devotion to one another, devotion to our Lord, the shared mission of making Him known. Like those things are all over the place. Like you're going to see those everywhere if you look. Okay, man, all of that was just not planned. I just, like, that was totally off script. So let's jump into a little bit of sermon recap. And actually, the first thing is I want to give a quick note about next week. I want to make you aware, as I've already said, that we're going to be covering Genesis 34 next week on Sunday, April the 3rd. That chapter contains a handful of sensitive topics, such as rape and murderous revenge. Yeah, that's in the Bible. So my plan is to be delicate with these topics, but I'm not going to be needlessly descriptive or vulgar with any of it, but there's just no getting around the reality of Genesis 34. And it's for that reason that we've decided to offer children's classes for all ages next Sunday. So if you feel as a parent, it's more appropriate for your children to participate upstairs, even if they normally sit with you, just because you're not ready to discuss or they're not ready at a place where they're ready to discuss these topics, feel free to send them upstairs next week. We wanted to provide that so that you didn't feel like either you're having to engage in conversations that you or they aren't ready for, or you just can't come. So there's that. That's all I'll say about that. Genesis 34 next week. If you want to read it, you can read it. But like I said, we will probably send our kids upstairs for that. Okay, the next thing I want to do is I am going to share that Valley of Vision prayer that I read yesterday, the reconciliation prayer. I'm not going to read it again here because I read it yesterday, but you can go into the newsletter itself when you get it in your email, and you can read it. And what I want to encourage you to do is read it, then kind of read through it again and reflect on and try to understand what's being prayed in this prayer. And then spend some time like praying some of those things for yourself if you feel so inclined. As I read it yesterday, I tried to update the language like on the fly, but here I've left it in that older English with the these and thous. It's just a beautiful Christ-centered Puritan prayer. So go check that out in the newsletter. The last thing that I want to do very quickly is just ask the question, did Jacob lie or not? And I'll try to come down in a spot, but here's the truth. It's difficult to determine from what we have, just from the data we have. Like we can't psychoanalyze the characters of the Bible. We can't sit down over coffee with them and say, okay, what were you thinking when you did this? Like, what was in your mind? Why did you do this? And so all we have to go on is the language that's there. If you have three commentators in the room, you're going to have four different opinions on whether he lied again to Esau or not. So did he outright mislead or deceive him with his intended destination dwelling place? Did he fully intend to go to Seir with Esau and only turn aside once he saw a more suitable place to pasture his flocks? Like, did he change his mind or did he lie? Or was he being like polite and telling like a diplomatic half-truth or something like that? just to keep the good feelings going, but not really sure what he's going to do yet. Or did he have Sukkoth in mind all along, as the text kind of seems to indicate? Either of these options, so either that he's lying or that he's not lying, either is possible in the text as it is written, and either one really could be consistent with Jacob's nature. So you think about if it's the change of mind and intention, where he didn't mean to lie. I mean, he ended up kind of lying, but he didn't mean to. He really meant to go there, but he found a better place. That would be consistent with the transformation we've seen in him. But also, you know, deception would be consistent with the old man, like what we've seen of Jacob's character and against which we've seen him struggle. I think I lean toward verse 17, and I tried to hint it a little bit yesterday. I think I lean toward verse 17, indicating that Jacob is not totally trusting of Esau in this reconciliation, and never really intended to come to him. He just wasn't ready to live with him, even after this amazing reconciliation. And so he says what he says, and he just kind of acts in that old man, but he doesn't want to outright say it and risk offending Esau by saying, I'm not going to come there, even though you've kind of laid out the red carpet for me. I'll just make my way that way when I'm able. And then he goes a different direction. I'm not saying it's okay. I just think that's what he did. And I can actually point to a time later that this same thing, or not exactly the same thing, but a similar scenario happens in this book. And we'll look at this. It'll be one of the last things we study in the book of Genesis. Something similar is going to happen between the rest of the sons of Jacob and Joseph in chapter 50. They sold their brother into slavery, and then they thought he was dead, and lo and behold, they ended up buying grain from him in the middle of a famine. And then he reveals himself to them, and then he brings them to live there in Egypt with him and provides for them. And it's there that Jacob dies. And his brothers express, like in the middle of Genesis 50, so in verse 15, they express fear that after Jacob dies, Joseph is going to seek revenge. And so basically they suspect that the reconciliation they've experienced with Joseph is a ruse on his part to weaken them so that he can gain an advantage over them. So what they do, like their solution, is to deceive Joseph with a command from Jacob's mouth that really he didn't say. And he speaks to, they speak those words to Joseph after Jacob dies. So in Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21, we see that Joseph's famous response, so that phrase where he says, you know, what you meant for evil, God meant for good, or what you intended for evil, God intended for good, like that phrase is actually spoken into the context of this deceptive command. It's his response to their fear. And so those verses 16 and 17 say, so they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. Like all of that, I've said all of that to show that even after this miraculous reconciliation, that already and not yet of reconciliation can cause those who've experienced to use unsavory means in seeking to preserve it or secure it in a more lasting sense. And that's what happened with Joseph here. The brothers turned to deception in order to make sure that he really is forgiving in the way that he seemed. And they put words in their dead dad's mouth to do so. And they're trying to preserve the peace. So they're seeking good things, the right things, the wrong way. Like they're using immoral means to do so. And I think that's probably what's in play with Jacob and Esau. Jacob doesn't want to ruin this atmosphere of reconciliation, but he also doesn't trust it fully. And so he resorts to seeking the right thing, the preservation of peace, the wrong way. So let me just admonish us all that in the fear of Christ, we can be people who tell the truth and let God handle the results. So let's be truth tellers and reconcilers today. Go and be about this ministry of reconciliation. Have a great week. I love you, people.